We are about to formally start, so thank you everybody for joining. I'm going to go over the script here. So, good morning, my name is Charles Cooper, Commissioner of the Texas Department of Banking. Today is Thursday, May 26th, 2022. This meeting is by telephone conference, which is authorized under 154.355 of the Texas Finance Commission. So at this time, I'll call the roll of the Texas Prepaid Financial Guarantee Fund Advisory Council. Rebecca Ann Motley.
I'm here, yes.
Thank you. Amy Biggs.
Here.
Thank you, Amy. And Wallace Jones.
Here.
Thank you, Wallace. So we have a quorum, and I call this meeting of the advisory council to order. Time is 9:34. 10:34. Excuse me, I told you I couldn't tell time. 10:34. The department staff attending this meeting includes Jesse Cecilia, who you talked to just recently. Jay Kim, who is review examiner of non-depository supervision, and Stephen Speck, who is our assistant general counsel. So the first meeting on the agenda is discussion and possible vote to approve the minutes of the May 26, 2021 meeting. So I believe y'all have a copy of the minutes. Anybody have any questions or corrections? Okay, so do I hear, a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Do we have a motion?
I'll second.
Okay, and was that Amy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, a second. Motion by Mr. Jones and a second by Ms. Biggs. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so the ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you all. Now we go to item B, discussion and possible vote to approve the activity of the funds and the investment officer reports for the period March 1, 21 up to or through February 28, 22. And Jesse's going to lead that. And Jesse, go ahead.
Okay, yes. Good morning. Like I said, over the guarantee fund activity for this 12-month period. The activity starts on page 3 of the meeting packet and ends on page 13. I will go over first the trust funded activity, which is pages 3 through 8. And as you will see, the report itself, it has the beginning balances as of February 28, 2021, which is the last time we met. So, and it will provide the balances for the guarantee fund itself and what we call the seized funds. And everything, I will remind, as a reminder, everything on the right-hand side of that gray bar is our funds seized from funeral homes, typically that have to do with the illegal sales or non-compliance with the finance code. And everything on the left-hand side of that bar is true guarantee fund activity. So the only thing you will notice that on the left-hand side, we have interest earned and trustee fees. That's the only activity that occurred within this 12-month period. And as of February 28th, the balances are on the bottom. Now, on the seized funds or restitution payable, please note that we've omitted by mistake the footnote for the number one. If you notice on page 3, it starts with the footnote number 1, and it says balance comprised of Well, that should have gone right next to the $77,575.41. So that's just an omission on our part by error. But there, that's the beginning balance of the seized funds. Everything with the footnotes number 2 through 19 is activity that occurred during that time period. The only I would just highlight one, you know, most of this is actually restitution that we received from funeral homes, and we made that payable to the funeral to the consumers. And the detail is outlined in page 3 to 4. One of the biggest ins and outs that happened during this time period related to Hernandez Funeral Home. This is a permit holder that we that used to have a permit with us that canceled contracts. Fraudulently, we did an order. We did a consent order back in 2019. Since then, we've collected all of the restitutions due payable, I mean, that was due, and we paid that out to the consumers. So that is the items noted on items 4, 14, and 19. So those are the biggest activity during that time period. The other stuff I would consider normal activity there. So if no one has any questions, or let me know if anybody has any questions on page 3 to 4 before I move on to the...
I do. I have some silly questions,
sure.
As usual.
No, that's fine.
I appreciate that. Okay, so I just want to, I want you to help me. I want to be clear here. So you, Jesse, you're the one who reaches out to the consumer to pay this restitution?
No, I don't. So this is so let's say, for example, with Hernandez Funeral Home, I'll give you that example. They were a permit holder. We had records of the, during examination, we found out that they were doing some fraudulent activity. We issued a report. Ultimately, we had to refer to the legal. So our legal department assisted us in contacting consumers, and we do a press release. We do, you know, outreach to obtain the information from the consumers. I don't necessarily do it directly. We have staff within our office that contact consumers. You know, we try to reconcile the amounts paid in, verify that the records are correct, and then ultimately, once we determine the amounts due, then we issue that restitution out to the consumers.
And when you, how do you know about these funeral homes, are they, when you find out about them, are they through complaints from consumers directly through the DOB, or who's telling you to investigate these people?
Multiple avenues. They can be, like I said, Hernandez was actually a permit holder of ours that we, you know, had a direct, oversight. As far as examination. The other ones we get from consumers, sometimes we get from other competitors. The information can come from a variety of avenues.
Do you have a breakdown that, how a number, say maybe another category, of how you gather that information? Is that something that is reasonable for me to ask for? Like, how many are coming from each entity? How many are coming directly from a consumer, and how many are coming from all these other places?
Well, you know,
the complaint.
A lot of that information is on our website with the official, once an order is issued, we have those orders publicly available.
I tried really hard. I tried to do my homework on the website to try and uncover all that before I ask you these questions, because I don't want to take everybody's time. I couldn't find that. So I'll continue to look for it.
Well, is there... okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. We can move on. I'll look for it. So how many times are these... I'm looking at page 4. I guess it could go through before that. And it says here that some of these become unclaimed.
Yes.
So how often are these consumers, how many attempts are made to reach out to them before the money is skewed up to the comptroller?
Well, we issue, our normal process is to issue a formal written notice to the last known address. And we also will do multiple attempts before we finally, if we get, if these letters, you know, get returned undeliverable or whatever the case, then we'll ultimately we'll escheat the funds to the comptroller. Now, they're in the name of the consumer, and the consumer can at any time, if they do reach out to us, we can, they can claim that money from the comptroller's office. So the money's always there for them to get a hold of those funds.
For safekeeping.
Well,
okay.
I
know it's on number 16 that one was paid out to the next kin. So it was good.
Yes. So.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying in that situation. Generally speaking, if the consumer is passed away, then we once we establish next of kin, then a check can be issued to that individual.
Yeah. Do you have a total? I mean, I tried to add up here. My mind was spinning. Do you have a total of unclaimed and versus claimed restitution? Would you be able to have that? We can talk later about that possibly. You don't have to do it now. But I was wondering if there. Do you have a total of unclaimed restitution versus claimed?
We don't have a running total of that. They're all. I guess if you add up the information here on pages 3 and 4, that data can be obtained.
Yeah.
So Jesse, why don't we do this for the members for this time period? We'll do a reconciliation and come up with how many came in from the complaints side, how many came in through examinations, and then on the when we pay out something and or restitution, we can kind of total that up and it'll reconcile to this. But we'll just do it for this time period, if that's all right, Rebecca.
Yes, sir.
That'll give you an idea an annual example.
Well, and when looking at this, it was just stunning to me how many are going unclaimed. For consumers, I just thought that was really sad.
Just generally speaking, Rebecca, yes, I think a lot of these funeral homes, some of these contracts were old contracts, and and the family may not be aware, so they go to a different funeral home and so forth. But people move. A lot of people are moving more now. So I mean, that's kind of the reasons. But yes, we do. Just so you know, we do try our multiple attempts to establish contact.
Yeah, and also once the funds are escheated to the comptroller, that they do periodic reports and papers and things like that. So it's possible that these funds are claimed later directly from the comptroller.
Right.
Right.
We don't.
I guess that probably is one of my points, is that the family moves on and they find another funeral home, and therefore those funds are gone to them. Until that they. An effort to find out if they're available.
Yes, and a lot of these contracts or some of these funds are due to illegal sales. So that basically that entity never had a permit with us. Like Amarillo's, the case Gonzalez. So a lot of most of these here did not have a permit directly with us, and it was through illegal sales. And now we're just trying to provide the restitution back to the consumer.
Well, I'm just curious as to, maybe it's probably not the appropriate time to ask in this forum, but, if the funeral home, if they're still in business, would be held accountable for reaching out to those families.
Well, I go back to the most of these are through illegal sales. So this funeral home really never had they were doing these sales illegally, so they didn't keeping the proper record keeping. That's required. So that's part of the reason as well. So that was my assumption. Yes.
But they're still in business, correct?
Not all the time. I mean, not in all cases.
Okay. On page 9, you went that far, correct?
No, I haven't.
Let him finish the report, Rebecca, and we go back.
So I concluded on page 4, and I'm just going to go 5 through 8 are the quarterly investment reports for the trust funded activity that I just discussed. Page 8 is the ending quarter for this period, which will detail the various CDs and where the funds are invested. So, I guess I can conclude now. Is there any questions on page 4 through 8? No? Okay. Then.
Rebecca, did you have a question?
On page 9?
I'm at page 9.
Okay. All right. You're ahead of us.
Yes. All right. Well, let me just give you a quick intro on page 9, Rebecca, and then I can address your question. On page 9, this is just the insurance funded activity for the same period, March 1st, 2021 through February 28th, 2022. You will notice the beginning and ending balances. This is primarily funds collected through the insurance sellers, and those assessments there are each time a funeral home or insurance, each time there's an insurance funded contract sold, a dollar needs to be deposited into this fund until $1 million is reaches, the balance is $1 million. We're probably about 2 more years into it before we reach the $1 million. We're about $70,000 that we're collecting on average each calendar year. So I will assume in a couple more years and this will reach $1 million and we'll stop collecting the assessment of $1. Rebecca, can you?
Yes, I have another question.
Okay.
Can you tell me what the is paid? There's nothing there. And what is that category?
Okay. Can you repeat your question? I'm not sure I understood it.
Well, I don't understand it. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
The claims paid. What does that category represent? It says zero.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm just wondering what.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's just a template. So there are no claims paid. That's zero.
Okay.
So if there were to be an insurance, a claim against the insurance funded prepaid guarantee fund, that
right.
that's where it would be reflected. I guess for going forward purposes, we could delete that column, but it's basically just a template that we follow in our reconciling worksheet.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Jesse, this is Wallace.
Yes, sir.
I've got one question.
Yes.
And it's back. I was on mute a while ago, and I apologize for that. But back on page 5, there was on item 2H, $8,460 was returned, and it was because it was not negotiated by consumers. And we've probably gone over this before, but would you remind me what that was about?
I'm sorry, what section was that on page 5?
It's on item 2.
Okay.
Other additions. And it was, this money was returned.
Okay.
Because,
yes.
There's no negotiated. It was not negotiated by
a
consumer.
Yes. Okay. So yes, I'm sorry. Yes. So what that is basically we talked about Hernandez, where they, we had an order against them, so they were required to pay restitution. The restitution is paid, or the checks are issued to the last known address. If those checks are not negotiated, then there's a stop payment put on them. And then we issued it to the comptroller's office. You will notice on page 1, on item 1 of the same page, item C is where...
C.
Yes. That's where the money... So the original check that was issued, we put a stop payment, and that's what you're referring to on item H. Then subsequently we...
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So it gets added back to the...
Yeah, I just missed it.
Okay. No, that's a good question. I mean, that's what we're here for, to go over the items. And then I will continue on to page 10 through 13. And again, these are the quarterly reports that we produce, that are submitted, just so you all know, to the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission on a quarterly basis. And these are, on page 13, we have the ending balances as of the reporting period. And it will show you again where the funds are held, where they're actually held right now. Any questions on the guarantee fund activity or other questions?
Any questions from anyone?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Thank you. All right. So thank you, Jesse, for that. Do I hear a motion to approve the activity of the funds and investment officers report for period March 1, 21 through February 28, 22, as presented by Director Casillo?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, that motion. Amy, is there a second?
Yes, sir.
Rebecca, was that? Okay.
Baker.
Okay.
Yes, I'll second.
All right, thank you. Rebecca, second. any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. The ayes have it and the motion carries. So now we'll go to item C, discussion and possible vote to reapprove Administrative Memorandum 2016. Jesse?
Yes. Hi, Jesse again. I'm going to go over Section C, pages 14 through 31 of the packet. Pages 14 through 22 is the red line version of the changes, and 23 through the end of that packet section is the kind of a draft, final draft version of it. So as you all remember, we're required to review the investment policy annually. So at each meeting, we have to go over it, and typically, you know, there's not a lot of changes. In this particular instance, there's not a lot of changes. It's minor, what I would consider minor changes, just to clarify certain sections. On page 14, the main thing we're doing there is just changing the date to reflect that we're reviewing it today. And that's the main changes there. Page 2, not much there, just a couple. I think it's a spacing issue, or that's where you notice that. Same on page 3. Same on page 4. Same on 5. And on page 6 is where we have a little bit more changes there. And really, we're adding some clarifying language. As you know, we actually try to mirror, we have an internal DOB policy as well that deals with investments. So we try to make sure these two policies are consistent. So that's the main change here, just trying to clarify certain sections there. And then on page 7, I think it's where there's a little bit more changes there, but it's more to clarify that I and Sammy, the chief financial officer, are both the designated investment officers. So on the middle of page 7 is where most of the change to this policy has been made. And again, it's just to clarify that instead of saying the commissioner will designate, we're basically staying affirmative that I am the designated investment officer along with the chief financial officer of the Department of Banking. So those are the main changes to the policy. Other than that, and again, page 23 to 31 is the final kind of a draft, clean draft version of it. Any questions so far on this? These proposed changes to the policy?
I have no questions, unless we're going to move into today's memorandum right after that.
Say that again, I'm sorry, today's what?
Next. Connected to that is dated for May 26, 2022 memorandum. I've got two sections.
Okay, well, that is the same one. I mean, so we're the pages 14.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Are we going to go for that, or it's the same one? It's just updated.
Yeah, 14 through, what I just finished going through is the redline version. So it's supposed
okay.
to be intended to highlight the changes. So you can, if you have questions, yes, this now is the proper time.
Well, I'm just, you know, I spent a long time on this. I don't have the professionalism and all the degrees that you guys have. So it's very hard for me to figure this out. But I wanted to ask you, are the banks that hold the funds, are they the ones who are responsible for the divestment state status list that the comptroller is supposed to update? I got on that site for the doing business, you know, the investments in companies doing business in Sudan, Iran, or with the foreign terrorists. That's on page 5 under unauthorized investments. I think y'all remember that discussion came up several times. So I went to the comptroller's site, and I didn't see that had been updated since last September. So I don't know how often they do that, but there was some kind of a release that came out in November of 2021 that, if I read it correctly, saying that they're not on that list any longer.
Okay.
So anyway, my point, I guess my point is asked is, are you, Jesse, or do you have to look at all of that, or are the banks responsible?
Okay, so what we're referring to, yes, I remember the topic came up, I'm not sure, a couple meetings ago. So this is all a state regulation, right? So section 404.024 is, it's part of the Public Funds Investment Act, and that is a state law. So that is, the legislature meets every other year. So if there's going to be any changes, typically they're made during those sessions. And yes, last year there wasn't any updates to that particular section that you're referring to. So that's why our section, we didn't make any changes to it either. So
right.
I think that my answer to your
question? I was just curious because they met, you know, in an off year, I guess is what you're saying.
Yes.
And came up with this update, but it wasn't actually, I had to dig for that. It wasn't actually on the comptroller's site underneath that for the list.
Well, if you go.
It still had the original list.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what, we just checked 404.024, you know, and that's still in there if you're referring to those certain Israel and some other ones, but that is on the law itself. And I'm not sure about the comptroller. I think that was just a footnote or if I remember correctly, it was a couple years ago. I just don't remember at this moment, Rebecca, but the bottom line is we do refer back to the state regulations and follow those as follows the regulations basically.
But Rebecca,
I understand.
You mentioned banks. When the CDs that are held at banks, they're not in, those are CDs. And what you're talking about is what's held at the Treasury. So
right.
The Treasury has to stay abreast of the statute.
Right. That's why I was trying to make sure that Jesse didn't have all that responsibility.
No.
Who had it, you know?
In fact, as you see right now, everything's invested. It's either in the things that we have flexibility on are the CDs, and then everything's is invested in, it's about 20% of the money, 25% is invested in the Treasury safekeeping. We have no we have no discretion over that. But they have to abide by the statute.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Then do I hear a motion to reapprove Administrative Memorandum 2016 as presented by Director Jesse Saucedo?
I move that we reapprove the administrative memorandum 2016 as presented by Jesse Saucillo, Director.
Thank you, Wallace. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Write that down just a second. All right, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so the ayes have it and the motion passes. Now we go to item D, discussion of the collection efforts. So we have Review Examiner Jay Kim will lead that discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Hello, this is Jay Kim, and I'll go over agenda item D, collection efforts. This report starts on page 32 of the packet and outlines the entities and individuals that are paying restitution and penalties relating to prepaid funeral contracts. This report is as of January 28th of this year, and again summarizes what's been paid and the balances owed. All entities reported here are existing cases from the previous meeting. So to start off, the first entry listed on page 32 is Kevin Keeney of Hal Doran Funeral Home in San Saba, and this relates to the previous mishandling of PFC funds. And as you can see, he is still actively paying restitution. On bottom of page 32, is Amarillo Family Funeral Home. This was a case in which an order was issued back in 2006 for pre-need sold without a valid permit. The matter was ultimately referred to the Attorney General's Office for collections. And the following year, in 2007, a default judgment was issued. Subsequently, the funeral home entered into a judgment payment agreement with the AG's office to pay $100 monthly. And as of this month, May 22, full restitution has been received, and the funeral home has begun paying penalties. Any questions before I move on to the next page?
I have questions.
Sure.
Well, I have several for the Keeney and Howe Funeral Home. My first question is this, in the penalties and court costs, nothing's been paid. So can you help me understand that?
Yes, so in this case, we would first apply the payments received towards restitution first so that the consumers would be made whole. And then any subsequent payments after that, we would apply towards penalties.
Okay. So, where does money go to the for penalties and court costs? I mean, if they're paying it, who is getting that getting paid?
Hey, Rebecca, this is Jesse. So, typically, after all the restitution is paid, the penalty will go towards the department's general fund. And again, it's typically a penalty for, in this particular case, they were selling contracts and not depositing as required. So typically there's a penalty that goes for that. And that is used to offset future assessments of, in this case, funeral homes that do have a permit with us. So.
Right. Okay. So it would go to the DOB?
Yes.
The Department of Banking?
Yes.
Okay. So if it's not being collected, what happens?
Well, right now, we're operating under our normal assessment schedule. And if, for example, if something does come in, some of these penalties are start to get paid, then we'll offset that or reduce, basically, if it's depending on the amounts, our assessments.
But right now, I think she's asked. So we have, using Kevin Keeney as an example, what happens if he stops paying?
Right.
If he stops paying, this will be referred to the AG's office for collection. Attorney General's office.
Okay.
For the state of Texas.
Yeah, I see here that he already violated an order, and then way back when. And then I see here, too, that I guess something's due by, that it was put, moved forward to be paid up full in 2020. Help me out here.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, that's correct.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is actually a unique case where there was actually a district attorney also involved. There was a, like you said, an order by the district attorney of San Saba, I believe. And then also there was we did a separate order. So yes, so some of the requirements is a combination of both orders, and he has up until next year, August of 2023, to catch up on the payments. Now, if he doesn't meet, if he doesn't meet the provisions of that particular order, then it will be referred to the AG's office at that point.
Okay, but that's out of your hands, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So, and this funeral home is still able to do business.
I believe this funeral home is actually out of business already. The funeral home closed.
Okay.
The funeral home closed. New owners walked into the funeral home, but he is no longer in the funeral home business.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. And then on the next one, the Amarillo family, current from December 2021. So nothing has happened since then?
No, they had made subsequent payments. This report is as of February, so no payments were received in January and February, but subsequently in March and April, we did receive additional payments. So the restitution as of now has been paid in full, and now subsequent payments are being applied towards penalties.
Okay, so these two we don't have. So I didn't see that. That's my question mark. I had my notes that there wasn't anything from the first one from February to current, and then the second one, Amarillo, there was nothing current. So I didn't have anything to go by to know if they were, if they had paid.
Yeah, they were delayed a couple of months, and then he caught up subsequently. Yes.
Okay, well, so I don't have that number. I would have saved me some time. So they're all caught up, or is that balance correct?
So Rebecca, remember this is as of February 28, 2021, but we do have that information subsequent. So that's why it cuts off as of that period.
So it would be reviewed the next.
Yes,
meeting.
At the next meeting, those payments will be covered in that next meeting.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. My apologies. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out why the dates were so far back, trying to figure out why it wasn't updated, and it was frustrating for me.
Well,
so,
Are you referring
anyway.
To the 20? Yeah, it's as
I'm
of
sorry.
2021, which is I mean it's okay. Yeah.
That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So we can move on to the next page, page 33. On top of page 33 is Mark Gonzalez of Gonzalez Funeral Home. He continues to actively pay restitution, and no unusual activities were noted from the previous meeting. The next one is Carisha Lewis Cotton of Clarence Lewis and Son Mortuary in Conroe. They were required to pay restitution and penalty as a result of selling an illegal pre-need. And so back in 18, due to no payment, this matter was referred to the AG's office for collection. And we have since been communicating with the AG's office on subsequent updates. And as of March 22, they indicated that they're anticipating some collection this year. So we're keeping this open, and once the funds are received, as we discussed, it'll be applied towards restitution for the consumer first, and then anything after that will go into penalties. Next on page 4 is Hernandez Funeral Home.
Can I ask
sure.
a question?
Yeah.
Sorry. Same thing for these two. I don't have anything current, so I couldn't tell if these people are in compliance or not in these companies. This Cresha Lewis Cotton and Son Mortuary, they haven't paid anything since July of 19. And I see all the reasons and giving them some time. And so this, are they still in business as well? Are they able to sell contracts when they're in being audited or, you know, being under investigation?
So, no. These two particular ones are actually funeral homes that were selling them without a permit. Okay, so that's why we're taking action here. So they're not allowed to sell any pre-need contracts. And that's why we did this order against them. And on Cresha Lewis, we have referred it to the AG's office, and we're waiting for them to do their collection efforts. And most recently, we've heard from the AG's office that there's an expectation to receive funds sometime in the near future. So that is our normal process. Like we mentioned earlier, we do an order. If they don't abide by the order, then we refer to the AG's office for collection efforts, and they have their procedures in place to try to find any assets and try to obtain the payment. And that's what we're basically on the holding pattern, waiting for the AG's office to conclude their procedures. And but again, we did hear that we should be collecting something here in the near future. So that's why it's zero.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that clarification. That's why it's hard to keep track of all the entities that get involved in these things. And I'm not sure exactly if that is how far you get involved in that. Or if it gets referred to the AG's office, what they do, the communication with you. Does it get referred over to the Texas Funeral Service Commission? Do they get involved? These cases aren't made to the public through the Texas Funeral Service Commission. The consumer is not allowed to know what's going on. So that's why I'm asking you, for updates on these cases, because it's concerning. And I just wanted to know, you answered my question, if they're still allowed to sell the contracts. And, what are the penalties for these people? The consequences, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Okay. Right now there's just like I said, I was going to say that we do do our procedures and follow up on them, but we can,
But Rebecca, they weren't allowed to sell the contracts in the beginning, and they're not allowed. They're not allowed to sell now, and so based on our order, the AG is now trying to collect the money that's owed, and we do communicate, as Kim said, with the AG during the collection time. But once it is referred to the AG, I'd say the collection. It depends on each one, but the collection efforts continue, but the probability of collection probably diminishes greatly.
And to add on, for consumers, our enforcement actions are, as Jesse said in the beginning of the meeting, posted on our website, so the consumers are made aware of these consent orders or enforcement actions being initiated by the department.
I will do my hardest to find that.
Yes, it's a separate section on our website, and it's called Enforcement Actions. Yes, so if you're not able to locate it, follow up with us, and we can help you with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, moving on to page 34. This is Hernandez Funeral Home, which Jesse discussed earlier, and as you can see, restitution has been paid, and they have begun paying penalties. Again, it cuts off as of February, but they did make subsequent payments in March and April as well, which are going towards penalties.
I have a little notation here. Can I pop in? Sorry.
Sure.
To interrupt.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I got post-it notes all over this. So when this goes to the AG, I noticed on some of these it says something about agreed orders. There's no detail. So is there some way to find those?
Yeah. So hi, Rebecca. This is Jesse. So this is the what we're referring to under the enforcement order section. I'm sorry, the website.
Uh-huh.
The actual order itself is there. So you can go look it up, and it's there, I believe, last 10 years. There's a history there. You can go look, for example, the one for Hernandez, you can go look it up there, and you will find the actual order itself, and which details the restitution and penalties that's required to be paid. So all this information is on our website under the enforcement action section.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, and page 35 identifies the cases that have been paid in full during the reporting period. First is Ronald Ritter, and second is Timothy Gaffney. Gaffney case is a little bit unique. So back in 12, agreed bankruptcy judgment was issued by the AG's office after the department referred the matter to their offices. And it basically indicated that if $200,000 is paid by January of 22, all remaining balances would be deemed satisfied. So as of December of 21, Gaffney had paid the full $200,000, so the judgment was deemed satisfied, and the remaining penalties are not required to be collected. But again, as a reminder, on these two cases, full restitution has been paid, so the families have been made whole.
Well, these two cases really threw me for a loop. Forgive me. The Ritter case, it says here, failing to disclose all of the illegal PFCs during the department's previous investigations. So do we know to this day? Will that be on your website too?
Yes, it would be. Yes. So in this case, we had issued several consent orders after confirming no additional pre-needs were sold. And subsequently, the department found out either through consumer complaints or other investigations that there were more. But yes, to answer your question, the consent orders for Ritter, they're all available on our website.
Yes.
Okay. And then when I go here and look for all details for these cases, I will see somewhere in there that they are no longer allowed to sell prepaid funeral contracts, or is there a time limit?
Well, the order will say
where they can begin.
I'm sorry, Rebecca. Yes, I was going to say the order will say that they're not allowed to sell contracts unless they're either through an insurance funded seller or they obtain a direct permit through the department. So that's one of the facts that's being established, that they sold contracts without a permit. So it will say that they are not allowed to do that going forward. And one thing I was just going to add is that we also do press releases, and we do contact local newspapers as well to try to get the notice out that, there's been an order issued. So we do our best to try to notify the public that, whenever something like this is, we become aware of something like this.
Yes. Yes. I'm so ashamed, really, because I'm finding a lot of things that really could have been very helpful for me over the last several years. And it would have, spared you guys from all the questions. I apologize. I didn't even realize you had the media press release thing. Now I have it. The Gaffney case is so complicated and mind-boggling to me. I'm not a lawyer, but there was a lot of language in here that was so confusing. And at this point, it's really not worth it to go through all of it. I'm looking here at the very end of this whole thing. It's just so strange to me. He finally paid. I'm seeing that at the very end, from a bankruptcy judgment that took place way at the beginning. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then somebody named Mr. Dan Brothers came in and paid some money. And I guess he owned a funeral home as well.
Well, yeah. So let me. I will tell you a complex case. I mean, for us as well. So what happened was, yes, the other individual you mentioned, he was an officer of the funeral home or the corporation that was selling these illegal contracts, and there was two orders issued or judgments, and in combination of the two funds paid in by both parties, we once the restitution was met, that's why we applied what Mr. Brothers paid towards the final restitution. So that's how Mr. Brother comes into play with this case. He was an officer of the company,
yes,
and also found to be
right,
to be involved in the illegal sales or illegal handling of the contracts.
Right. So that took a long time from September 12th, this whole case, you know, now.
Yes.
And the consumers, I guess the question too was, the consumer, do they, how long do they have to wait to get, do they have to wait until these cases are fully investigated to begin being paid out?
Well, go ahead.
Yes, so this is Jay. For restitution, at least quarterly, we review per each entity or individual how much had been collected. And generally, if we get about 25% of the total restitution paid, we send a partial payment out. So, so that we don't, you know, send payments for a couple dollars and $10, we wait until sufficient funds are available and make partial payments until the full payment is collected.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Sure.
I will refrain from all the other questions on that case. It was really confusing to me.
Yeah, no problem. I think at the end of the day, the good thing is the bankruptcy judgment had been deemed satisfied and the consumers were made whole. So yes, it was a complex case, but I think, you know, it ended.
Well, in the bankruptcy judgment, I guess I'm just curious as to how much it came from out of their pockets to pay for something that they did. You know, finally, bankruptcy is okay, I guess, when it's needed. But the penalty, the consequences, I guess, are what I'm wondering about.
So,
you know, it just reflects poorly on them as a business.
So, this is another example, Rebecca, that the funeral home is no longer a business, right? So, or, you know, Mr. Gaffney is not involved in this business anymore. The funeral home changed hands. It's a totally new, different owners. But ultimately, the restitution was paid by Mr. Gaffney, okay? The
mm-hmm.
full restitution was paid, by him. The only thing that got reduced was the penalty amount, and that was part of their the agreement. You know, with the, there was a judge involved, and that was the agreement between the parties. So, but just to reemphasize, the penalty, all the restitution was paid by him, and obviously
yes,
in part.
But that was another thing I had highlighted, which you just pointed out, is that the judge got involved in that way to lower the amount, or I'm not sure exactly what you just said, what he did. That's lowered the amount penalty.
Well, that's, yeah, I can't speak to the detail. I'm not familiar with the details about, but it was part of the negotiation with, you know, as part of the final order that was issued, that was signed off, I'm sorry, by the judge, presiding judge.
Okay. And that would be in the enforcement action side part of the page or not?
No, this would have been with the AG's office. So the... Yes, the original order from issued by the Department of Banking would be available, but this judgment case would be with the AG's office.
Right. Okay. Thank you for bearing with me.
No, sure thing. So unless there are any other questions, this would conclude my summary of item D.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jay.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I could have asked this prior. So in the packets that I have saved over the years, I noticed there's not an investment strategies section. Is that something that somewhere else that I'm missing?
Okay, this is Jesse. So the investment strategy is part of the administrative memorandum we just discussed earlier in item C. Are you referring to...
Okay.
Can you clarify your question?
Don't back. I'm sorry. It's okay. I apologize. I had just seen Posty. I don't want to go back. I apologize.
Okay.
So I'll look for it.
Any other questions on for Jay on item D?
All right, Jesse, let's go to item E, as in Edward, about the Public Funds Investment Act training.
Right. So the our investment policy also does require the investment officers to obtain training every 2 years. So this is just a summary of the training that myself and Sammy have received, just to show that we're in compliance. At this point, I will need to get the training in early 2023 next year, and Sammy will need to get it by the August 2023 date. So main thing here to gather is that we're in compliance with our training policy, and you know, and it's every 2 years, so I need to take it early 2023, and that's pretty much it. That's the purpose of this one-page summary. Any questions?
If no questions, let's go to item F.
Okay, let me grab that real quick. I lost track of mine. Okay, item F. So again, unless there's something going, unless something happens, or we need to have another meeting, or we have some sort of claims against the guarantee fund that will require for us to meet prior to our annual meeting, the next meeting that we propose will be May of next year, May of 2023. So again, just to give you just an update, and we'll be providing some dates as we get closer, like we did this time. But barring any unforeseen issues, we would meet before then. But otherwise, we'll be in communication. And as always, if there's any questions or anything you would like to know in the interim, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll try to provide any information I can at that time.
Did we make a motion for collection efforts?
We couldn't hear you.
Did we make a motion on the collection efforts, because I interrupted and made everybody go back to the
strategy. A motion is not required. Motion is not required for that.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
All right, then, Jesse, let's talk about Mr. Jones.
Yes, Mr. Jones, I want to, this may be the last official meeting we have as a Guarantee Fund Council for this group, and I wanted to thank you for your service. I know last time you agreed to re-up, we noted that this would be your last term based on the regulations, you know, that you'll be fulfilling your limit. So I just want to personally thank you, and from the department as well, everybody involved, thank you for your agreeing to cooperate and your helping this process. So I wanted to officially thank you. And I mean, your term does not end until December 31st, 2022. So you still have a few more months, but I'm not sure we're going to have a meet again officially. So thank you, sir. Thank you for.
Yeah. Wallace, we really appreciate your involvement for these years. And just wanted to let you know that.
I appreciate, Commissioner, your comments, and it's been a pleasure and learned a lot.
Well, we'll miss you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Wallace. So that's all I have for now. And as a group, we'll be looking for somebody that can fill that vacancy, and then that'll be need to be approved by the Finance Commission in our December meeting. So we'll start looking at somebody to fill that vacancy.
Okay, so that concludes the agenda items. Does anybody have anything that they want to talk about before we conclude the formal section? Okay. So, there being no further business, the meeting of the Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council is now adjourned, and we'll see if I can get the time right this time. The time is 11:32. Okay, so...